Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Live, off the record with Shivago Langs, brought to you in part by Burger King, Fidelity Bank, Money Managers Company Limited, and Royal Star Assurance. You're not alone. Holla if you feel like
you make it down the same road. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. I hope and trust that you enjoyed your holiday weekend. From some reports, some people enjoyed it maybe a little bit too much. But nonetheless, we had cause to celebrate our independence as a country. And I hope you enjoyed celebrating yours. If you want to give us a call at all today, please feel free to do so at 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316 or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. You can catch us live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother does it. And or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. BTC Flow Channel 612. So a few things to mention today. That I thought was of some interest. So we got a little bit of a flow, free flow today, given all that has transpired over the course of the holiday weekend. And so if you want to at all weigh in, text or call, please feel free to do so. It's not going away. COVID-19 is not going away right now. It's not letting up in some places too near to us, a place where I am actually. And that has a very serious implications for us in the Bahamas. And so we have COVID-19 as a dilemma with which we have to deal for some time to come, both on a health front and on a socioeconomic front. This virus and its implications are with us for a while, and we have got to find the optimal way to deal with it, okay? I said to you on my show several shows ago, you open up the borders, you are exposing yourself to a much higher probability of increased cases of COVID. In those same shows, I indicated my concern that our numbers seemed static for a very long time, very long time. We had been sitting at that 104, I think it was, 11 for some time. And I indicated that if in fact that was true, I can't say it wasn't true. I can't say it was true. I know what we are told, and I am inclined to listen to, believe what is put before us unless there's objective reasons not to. So we were told it was 104, 11 for a long time, with 104 confirmed cases, 11 people dying from COVID. And I thought it was extraordinary that for some weeks, we were just static right there. No new case, not one new case. You know, I thought to myself, either something was not being reported or we weren't testing or whatever the reason. Or I said, if we were that successful, then we were taking an even greater risk in opening our borders, and it became increasingly so, given the nature of things in the United States of America, but in particular in Florida, okay? When you examine what's happening in Florida, to be sure, folks, everywhere in Florida isn't experiencing the same level of COVID surge. So Miami-Dade is the worst. Broward is, I think, third or something like that. And so as you go further north, you have different results than what you see further south in Florida. So I can tell you in Clay County, where I am, it isn't the same as you would find in Miami-Dade or in Broward and so forth. But in the state of Florida, as a general rule, COVID-19 is a hotspot. It's a hotspot of COVID-19. And then you have Arizona and California and so. And so given that we were primarily going to get our tourists from there, there was no question in my mind we could run afoul of COVID increases. Well, we're seeing it. We have seen in Grand Bahama. We've seen a case or so, I think, in Nassau. We've seen that COVID-19 is back on the register. And now, I'll be interested to see how the government proceeds now. When we had our first cases, the government mobilized a task force. They came and they gave regular briefings. There was a certain level of seriousness about it. And we all were very tuned in to listening to what was happening. It's early now, but I don't see that yet. I don't see it yet, but we'll see. Because if the thing was a threat without a vaccine, when we started getting those initial early number of cases, and it was like just 1, 2, 3, and 4, the government moved with haste to try to address it. We are now having new cases. Let's see what happens. I am not hearing a great deal of details. I've had to call around to folks to try and find out some things. Like, for instance, I wanted to know, well, are these cases coming to the attention of the government because people were presenting at the hospital? Or were they coming to the attention of the government because the government was doing testing? Because depending on which one it is, or a mixture thereof, it says different things about what we are doing as a country to protect ourselves. For instance, if we are getting these cases because people are getting ill and presenting at the hospital, but they didn't emerge as a result of testing, that means that essentially we are relying on this thing manifesting itself within our community to the point of illness before we decide to do anything. And so we will be behind the curve. If, as a matter of testing, we are finding out that people have this thing, then we are being proactive in discovering this community spread, and maybe we can get a jump on the thing. I don't know what it is. No one could tell me, except I did contact a medical professional who I have to take it as an opinion, even though it's a very informed opinion, said that it was people presenting at the hospital with illness, including 16-year-olds, by the way. All right, a 16-year-old. So I think the government has to take account of several things in this new scenario. Are we on a new surge and therefore have to fight off a new scenario of overwhelming our system? Or are we essentially on another spike in the same curve, and therefore maybe our reopening was too soon? Where are we, and what is the best way to respond to it? The appetite of the Bahamian public for a new closure is, I think, nil to none. Okay? Nil to none. I think the appetite of most Bahamians to a nuclear zone. And the way we did it before is it's nil to none. The ability of the Bahamian economy to withstand a nuclear zone is enormously limited, right? Enormously limited. But one of two things will happen. We will check this new surge or this new manifestation and therefore avert closure, or we will not check it and it will close us down. It's reality. We opened up, and now there is being called into question whether or not our protocols were in the right scenario or not, right? Now, I have always believed for some time now that our protocols weren't tight. Why was I believing that? I could not hear from the Minister of Tourism in the weeks leading to the reopening of the economy and the international border. I could not hear from him confidence that we had the protocols in place that ought to have been put in place. I couldn't hear that from him. In fact, I read where he indicated that they weren't there yet. And I have not seen in a public manifested way, by way of declaration, by way of press conferences and what have you, the level of confidence. Now, I heard the director of tourism attended a press conference and represented their efforts to do the necessary to ensure that the protocols were in place. I heard that, but I did not. I'm sorry. I did not myself gather that there was a sufficiency of tightness about it, because the very first protocol for checking the possibility of a virus coming into the Bahamas by way of a tourist, to me, was a huge loophole. And you all heard me speak about that before. A 7 to 10 day window of testing was in and of itself too wide a window to allow for infection prior to travel. Okay? 10 days? On my 9th day, I could go out. On my 8th day, I could go out. On my 7th day, I could go out. On my 6th day, 5th day. The window's too wide. In many a jurisdiction where they are allowing business travel and other international travel, what they do is 72 hours. You know, it's a much narrower window. And, of course, anything can happen even within that window. But, obviously, you get a bigger possibility of infection if you are dealing with a wide window than you do if you're dealing with a narrow window. So we had that window issue. On top of that, listen, folks, and I'm going to talk about this a little later on if we get around to it. Documentation over the internet, documentation in this era, in the digital era, is a very, very tricky business. Because one of the reasons why blockchain is becoming popular as a technology is because it allows for that kind of instantaneous, very difficult, no manipulation of documents that allow and permit people to exchange documents and not believe that there is an easy means to defraud them. You can get these things if you got enough relationship with all kinds of people. You can get a kind of certificate here, there, and anywhere. And so somebody could say, yes, I've been tested. And here's my test. Forget the fact that within 10 days of getting the test, I could get infected, but I could also get a fake thing that is real enough. It looks real enough. So the government has to pass that. Now, I mean, seriously, let's be real. If thousands of people took advantage of trying to send in these certificates, you really think that the government can properly vet thousands of them? Really? Seriously? Without thinking somebody slips some stuff through? And with COVID, you don't need 10,000 people to slip through. You only need 10, 1, 3, 2 to put your community at risk. So that too created a challenge. On top of that, we now hear, I don't know it is true, I am only hearing, it's been reported, that folks said they flew in from Boston and were able to come in without a COVID test or any result. That's possible too, you know. That'd have to be fraud. That could just be naked negligence on the part of any number of persons. That is possible. And you still have the exposure. In any event, the bottom line is that the risk to ourselves of opening up our borders is real and was real. That is not to say, and because some of you, when people make comments, you go jump to a conclusion. Shivago Lang says, don't open the border. I wasn't saying that at all. My thoughts are documented in a document to the government, and it's consistent with what the Government Public Policy Institute said. We can reopen. We just had to reopen in ways that ensured that we mitigated the risk of exposure through COVID-19. And what we recognized was that mitigating of risk wasn't a mere ensuring that you didn't have any cases of COVID come in, because it anticipated the possibility that that could happen. It was your infrastructure being able to rapidly respond to any manifested cases so that you could show your ability to deal with it quickly. That was our thing. And so again, for some of you who hear in ways that jaundice what people say, I, Shivago Sean Lang, consistent with what the Government and Public Policy Institute indicated, believed, we certainly had a huge pressure to reopen at the right time, because there were preconditions for that reopening, which I still have not seen the government manifest. I haven't seen the government say, this was the trigger for reopening. This will continue to be the trigger for reopening. This will be the trigger for closing, because those are the kinds of metrics you and I as a society can follow. And to say, yes, I understand why the government is opening and I understand why the government is closing, because we were told in advance that these metrics are in place. What do I mean by metrics? As the government said, if we see 4 weeks of continuous no increases in COVID cases with this level of testing, this is what the Government of Public Policy Institute called for. So it wasn't just a matter of you flatten the curve. It was you were doing a certain level of testing in your community. So let's say that level of testing is 2%, 3%. When South Korea did its reopening, it was testing at the level of 2% of its population. Don't let anybody fool you and think they were testing 10%, 20%, 100%. Nonsense. They were testing 2% of their population. And in that testing, while they were testing, their numbers had flattened and ceased to go up. And then they decided that they could go and move forward with their reopening. So you have those metrics in place. And then if you say, okay, if I start to see cases of this order, 4, 5, 10, over a period of 2 weeks, and I'm going to have to reconsider adjusting my opening so that we can catch that, that before it becomes a surge, and that you would do that by virtue of the fact that your infrastructure had sufficient contact tracers to be able to follow up on cases as they manifested. So we anticipated a number of things happening at the same time to put a covering over how people felt. Let me tell you something. I spoke to a colleague of mine who is at a university in the United States of America, who is now in Germany. And I asked him, I said, how do you feel in Germany there? He says, oh, listen to me now. He said, I feel much safer. And he gave me a list of things that are happening in Germany as to why he feels safer. He says, everybody is wearing masks. You provide your phone when you go to a pub. The supermarkets give you gloves. 200 new cases in all in Germany today. I think Miami Beach had much more. Very refreshing, says this person. And he told me, I spoke to him. I literally spoke to him, and he told me he just felt safer. Now, that was really interesting because I saw a news report of a lady traveling from Great Britain, from the UK, to Taiwan. And if you want a case of how it has been done well, Taiwan is one of those cases, ladies and gentlemen. I would recommend you look at Taiwan. And Taiwan, the lady was asked, she was followed from the UK's airport all the way to Taiwan and all the protocols that were in place for her when she got there. When she got to Taiwan, she was tested right there on the spot. She was given sanitation stuff and gloves. She was given a taxi to take her, which had been certified to be able to transport her. She had to go straight to her house. She paid for the taxi, by the way. It cost her $80. She went straight to her house. Within seconds or minutes, she was contacted by someone from the CDC in Taiwan to verify that she was at home. And they were able to verify that in conjunction with her location on her phone, which she was being tracked, and that they continuously monitor that she's at home, both by virtue of her telephone and by virtue of her being spot checked. So sometimes they would say to her, we're coming for a visit, or say to her or others, we're coming for a visit, and she'd ask, where are you? And they'd say 5 minutes away, and within 4 minutes, they were at her door, okay? So she said, when asked about how she felt, she said she felt much safer, much better taken care of. She said even if she had COVID or came out down with COVID, she said she believed that she would be much better off. And so these are the kinds, I'm not saying the Bahamas should do exactly that, but I'm saying these are the kinds of things, that the kinds of infrastructure that once put in place give people a greater sense of assurance and security, and the kinds of ways we were saying we needed to behave prior to any reopening. We have some text here. This text says, great show as usual. A new closure, Mr. Lang. Don't give the PM no ideas. I didn't give the PM any ideas. You aren't listening. You are not listening to me. I didn't say that. I said you're going to have one or two things happen. That either you're going to check this thing, but you ain't got to worry about it. You are going to close. You can close yourself down because it's going to be impossible to walk around and move around without COVID. So don't tell me about me giving any ideas. I didn't give him the idea the first time. Prime Minister don't need me to give him the ideas. And that's not my suggestion at all. This text says, Mr. Lang, what's going on with social services? People have signed up online from March. It's almost the end of July, which would be 5 months. My God, that's really bad. And you're not hearing from the minister. I honestly don't know. I don't have enough information to comment on what's happening or not happening at social services. I do know that very early, we were urging and saying to the government, really, you have to find a way to get this money to people. And I honestly, folk, I don't know. I honestly don't know. These are extraordinary times. And I'm sorry. In extraordinary times, you don't do the same things. You don't do the same, operate the same kind of way. Now, is social services operating the same kind of way? I don't know, because I'm not there. But I know that, I forget the name of the general, and I keep forgetting his name, who went to New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina when things was not going well. He said, listen, in a disaster, you start trying to figure out what rules to break. Because rules are made for ordinary times many times. In extraordinary times, you have to do different things. So I see no reason why the government could not do, in cases where it seems clear you need to do it, cash disbursements. The government has control of the entire police force. So security can't be the problem. I mean, my God, security? I saw a member of parliament. I saw a story of a member of parliament during a general election giving out cash to his constituents during an election with police officers right there. And when asked about it, you know what he said? He said he'd try as people needed help, and he would do it again. Mind you, anyway, the point is, if cash disbursements is the way you need to get funds to people who are near, man, please, what's the problem? There are banks that could be facilitative in that regard. If they want to acute, there are government buildings and places where the government can, with the assistance and security of the police, do so and get people help that they need. Obviously, you can have a listing from social services as to who's been sorted out and those who have not been sorted out. But to think that it is okay for people to not get helped, and, you know, where we're working some things out, or maybe, you know, some things, that ain't good enough. That's not good enough for those people. We have to be more than concerned. We have to be moved to do some things. And so anyway, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know what to tell you beyond that. You have a text here. Said the Nassau case was important. Most likely the Freeport cases too. Yes, I think a number of these cases are going to reflect some travel and that kind of stuff. You know, whether by tourists or by residents traveling or whatever. It's opening. You're opening. Think about this. We closed down our internal borders to travel because we didn't want each other to be traveling to the islands and infecting our islands. Well, if we did that for our internal citizens to prevent us from taking COVID to our own islands, well, if we open up to the wider world where COVID is much more in the wider world, why would we expect not to have COVID exposure by that? This is unreasonable. It's like I was telling somebody the other day. Think about this for a minute. This is an aside. President Donald Trump said he saved thousands and millions of lives by closing off the U.S. border to Chinese in the early stages of COVID. That's what he said, right? And notwithstanding, they are reporting that 40,000 Chinese actually still travel to the United States since the closure. But notwithstanding, he said he saved millions of American lives by that closure. Well, is it not curious to some of you that the number of confirmed cases and deaths in China from COVID ain't as high as in the United States? So you closed off your economy from the people you thought would bring an infection to kill millions of your people, and them same people, same country, they have less deaths than you. Now, you could conspiracy theorize that they ain't reporting all the deaths. But China's open. China's economy is open. And the Americans doing business with the Chinese. Importing stuff from China. I thought it was curious. So, we have to, I mean, honestly, for me, folks, I want to be careful going forward in what is going to become more and more intensely a political environment, because I'm not interested in being a propagandist for any political party on this show. But I'm interested in how we act and behave. And what I'm calling for today and asking for today is for the government to accept that more rather than less information is going to be helpful. First thing, more rather than less information. So whoever is, as the Prime Minister prepares his communications as Minister of Health and his colleagues, as they prepare their communications from their several ministries, they have got to accept and believe and commit to more rather than less information is helpful. It inspires confidence, and confidence is necessary for cooperation. Okay, that's the first thing. Secondly, that the government recognizes the great reliance the society has upon it in trying to feel a sense of safety in the midst of this pandemic, and that the government ought to give that assurance by telling us more rather than less what it is doing in full. You are going to make mistakes, and you can get slapped up your head for making mistakes, because that's the nature of this world in which we live and the politics that you are a part of. But that's mistakes happen. You're human. Humans make mistakes. NASA has one of the most brilliant assemblage of minds you could find. They've made mistakes. It's even cost lives when they've had shuttles explode and that kind of stuff. So things happen. There's no question about that. But more rather than less information about what you are doing to keep the country safe is important. And if you are and evaluate what you're doing, don't make up no stories. Tell people what you're doing. If they criticize you and say, well, that's not enough, listen. And it may well be it's not enough, and you can make adjustments. The idea is in that, yes, you as a political party in government want to come off looking good. That's wonderful. I know that. I've been there, know what that's like. But what's more important is that you're actually doing good. That's what's more important. You can look good and still be doing bad, and you can look bad and be doing good. But you want to look good and be doing good so that the people could get the benefit of the good. All right? So that's the second thing. And thirdly, you want to continuously bring the public along. It doesn't matter that they are angry with you now. You know, angry people have reasons for their anger. Sometimes that's they don't know. Sometimes it's that they don't know enough. And sometimes it's that you come across a certain way. Or sometimes it's that they don't care. Or, you know, whatever the reason is, you have to try and bring them along so that you can, in the end, get the cooperation from the majority that you can get so that you could get the cooperation, the confidence and cooperation that's necessary. But we are entering a very difficult and dangerous time, I think, right now. Very difficult and dangerous, because a perfect storm is brewing. We have the possibility of a new surge in COVID. We have an absolutely broken economy. And there's no other way to put that. The economy is broken. Broken. And we have a large number of citizens who are immensely strained and stressed because of their own dislocation in the environment. That's a perfect storm for unrest. And you have agitators, advocates, people out there who will fuel this fire and this flame. It's a perfect storm. And what is required in a perfect storm? Almost near perfect execution and navigation of the ship of state. On a good day, the ship of state is difficult to navigate. In a storm, it is horrendously difficult, and you have to be almost perfect in trying to get it done. But communication will help. Forthrightness will help, and sympathy, empathy will help in helping to navigate that storm. You're listening to Z Live and Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break from news. When we come back, we continue our discussions. Let me know that you're not alone.
You asked for- for it, and Burger King NASA has brought it back. Two for $10 premium combos are here again. Get two of your favorite Burger King combos with fries and a drink for only $10. That's right. Burger King NASA is offering you some of our best sandwiches like the Big King, Original Chicken Sandwich, Big Fish Sandwich, or 10 Chicken Nuggets with two fries and two drinks for just $10 plus VAT. These are the premium combos you love at a steal of a price. But you better hurry. This deal won't be around for long at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers and residents of Nassau Village, particularly Alexandria Boulevard, that the corporation will commence improvement works on Monday, July 13, 2020, for a period of 6 weeks. During this time, there may be interruption in the water supply, road closures, and detours around the work area. Motorists are asked to avoid the area between the hours of 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. daily. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
At Royal Fidelity, you can be confident that we are busy keeping your money at work. We realize that your finances may have been impacted by COVID-19. Our margin loan facilities could be the solution you are looking for. Borrow against your investments and use the funds for any purpose, including meeting short-term cash needs or COVID-19 related expenses. Approval is within 48 hours. Contact us today at 603-6000 or email brokerage@royalfidelity.com. Royal Fidelity, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. You can text me on 439-3043 or 422-4796. So I wanted to listen, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I'll spend probably the remainder to the news break on this. But a friend of mine sent me a document which purports to provide evidence of the export of limestone and what have you from the Bahamas, and it says it's entirely United States Customs Border Protection Harmonized Tariff Schedule of the United States, right? And so he sent it to me and he asked me if it was fake or not. I looked at the document and my initial response to him was that I think it's nonsense, fake news. Yeah, you know. Anyways, I did something with the document because, you know, you really just have to try and understand what it is that you are dealing with it with a public that is there's a segment of the public of the Bahamas, and it's sizable, that really has an enormous obsession with this, end quote, natural resource question. Oh my God, it is something. And so there is a ferocious appetite for information. I mean, the ferocious. I think a part of it is there's such a desperation for new wealth and prosperity in the Bahamas that we want to believe. We want to believe that there is a way to rescue us from this poverty, this lack of winning prosperity. We want to believe that there's something out there that might result in a check coming to us to get out of the tightness we are in. So I think that's part of it, that it would be beautiful if there is this billions and billions of $1 in aragonite possibility and oil possibility to rescue us from what is clearly a scenario in which we don't see a rescue from our own ingenuity. Because think about it, folks. How will you get more prosperous? You listening to me on the show. How will you get more prosperous? Let me tell you how. Either your hands or mind will produce that value for you to get more prosperous. Or the economy of the Bahamas will expand in ways that generate new income for you and release more credit for you to buy more now than you could purchase right now, but you could do it on credit. Or we can find a rich uncle who's going to say, I love you so much. Here's a check for you. Who's the rich uncle? Aragonite. Oil. Those are the ways. So if you're a Bahamian and your financial circumstances are shot, and you see no way that your personal skills or your personal intelligence is going to bring you more money, you see no way your economy is going to expand beyond its present level because you don't have that much faith in tourism going forward anymore, and you don't see that economic growth to come to bring you more income, so because your job is expanding and they start sharing some money with you because they are growing, you don't see that. What else are you going to hope for? You got to think, oh my God, there has to be something out there going to drop from the sky or come up from the ground that is going to bring me that new prosperity. That's the problem we got right now in the Bahamas, ladies and gentlemen. That's why aragonite is as passionate for people as it is. It's the rich uncle to rescue us because we have not within our own selves the means to rescue ourselves. Even the aragonite rescue, we are hoping that the government will wise up and get more from who? The foreign man in the business. Not from us. Think about that for a minute. We are hoping the foreign man keep getting the aragonite, you know. Because he knows what he's doing. We are hoping the foreign man keeps doing what he's doing, but the government extract more from him because this thing is so valuable. We hope the government get more from him and then cut me a check. So there's every time you put somebody put something out there, don't let it be somebody people respect. Put something out there. Don't let it be right, well written. Don't let it be well laid out. Boom. Be on it. So anyway, I took the document, and this is the first thing I did with the document. We have a caller on the line. Let me take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Let me take that call. Go ahead, caller.
Well, good afternoon, Shivargo.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Shivargo.
Hey, Graham, how you doing?
You may be right, you know.
I'm here. I'm listening to you.
You may be right. There's one way to prove that you are correct. A friend of mine in the Bahamas.
Correct about what?
Correct about what you've been saying about these aragonites and us not being able to get ourselves out of the problem we're in without the rich uncle.
God, no, I didn't say that,
gives you something. And you should embrace it.
I didn't say that, though.
No, well, I don't want
to. But make your point. Make your point, please. Yes. Make your point.
I was told that every tonnage of any products coming into North America, the U.S. Customs Department keeps a record of souls on board a boat and tonnage. We simply need to ask the U.S. government to give us the list of everything that left the Bahamas and entered the United States, whether it was sand.
But Graham, can I do this?
Sure.
Because I'm running out of time before the show. And then if you want, you can call back because I'd love to engage you about it. But I just want to do this quickly. We can do better than ask the U.S. for the moment. I took the document that was sent to me, the document, and I simply put in the link that the document has on it, the link.
Uh-huh.
and that link does not show that information.
Okay, well, let me ask you one.
That link shows the rates charged by the U.S. government for certain things.
Well, let me ask one quick thing before the news, because I can't call back.
Yeah.
In November 5th, 2018, Guardian, the Ministry of Financial Service, Trade and Industry and Immigration, stated that we trade goods and services $3 trillion. Now, I know that number's wrong. Could you please get the correct number that's made in goods and services and tell us what's the tax rate if it's 12% VAT? I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, you don't have to call me tomorrow for that, but thank you. No problem. Thanks a lot. That first of all, that don't even that number we know already, because, and that's easy to find. It's in the Department of Statistics Trade account, so you can get it from the central bank, etc. And you can't ask me what the tax is on it for 12%, because you and I both know taxes don't work that way in the Bahamas. You can get charged 100% on cigarettes. You can get charged 0% on beef. You can get charged 25% on chicken. So I wouldn't even entertain that as a sensible way of looking at how we tax our various things in the country. The point is, I took the document. Okay, so that's the starting point. Let's at least see what the document says. So I took the document and I went to the link the document has. I have the link up right now this minute, and the link says head, subheading, and it gives the number. It says stat, suffix, and it gives the number. Article description, and it gives the number. Unity of quantity, meaning whether you use pounds or kilograms or whatever. It has it's just a general description of how the rates of duty is applied and so forth and so forth. None of that information that's on the document. So I don't know. It could be something else. Maybe I missed something. I even did a search. I'll talk about it a little later on, but I think we have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Okay, I don't have a caller. I even did a search because at the top of the bottom of the page, it had something that said a limestone export from the Bahamas. And so I did that. I put that search right in the same harmonized tariff schedule. And when I did that, my search came up with nothing new, nothing closely even resembling that information. And so I was at a loss. But I did manage to go on other Google sites with respect to the same question. And I saw some numbers, but exports from the Bahamas. I saw some billions of numbers, but they had nothing to do with exports from the Bahamas. Because I know better. I just know better. I know better. I just know that this is just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. But I understand the passion about it. I really do. I understand what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is news. And when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after news break. Call the war, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
road. It's the beginning of the hurricane season, and Fidelity Bank is giving you one less thing to worry about. We're not able to control a storm or its path, but we can prepare for it as much as possible. With every debt consolidation loan, Fidelity is giving away fully loaded hurricane kits valued at $200 with all the hurricane essentials you'll need to weather the unexpected storms of life. It's that easy. Sign up for a debt consolidation loan, open an ASO savings or fixed deposit, and walk away with a free hurricane kit. At Fidelity, we're committed to helping you through these difficult times. Fidelity, we're good for you.
Qui gagne 60 ans, ou soit plus, passé 60 ans, moun ka bay soin, ta dwe pran plus précaution pou yo ka kenbe moun ki pi gran yo en sécurité. Ça implique mettre équipement protection personnelle, ou soit PPE, tankou mas, gan ak rob. Mezi sa yo diminue risque transmission COVID-19 la, entre moun ka bay soin avec patient. Bon application, jan pou retire PPE a ki se gan, mas ak rob. Important pour réduire transfert virus ça. Mettez nouveau PPEA qui c'est WOP, GAN et MAS chaque fois ou pour assister un autre patient. Assurez-vous que vous lavez mains avec savon avec l'eau avant ni après ou assister chaque patient en chaque travail que vous faites. Protégez moun AGO et protégez tête.
Message ça, vivez jeune nous, grâce à ministère santé dans Bahamas ensemble avec Radio Gadget.
Need some cash for your holiday.
Money manager.
Convenient, our rates are low, and our service is fast and friendly. Visit us at moneymanltd.com or call us at 356-3555. Salary deduction required.
Responsible lenders for responsible people. Money managers.
To take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4236. 5 9 3 2 5 4 2 5 9. You can also text me on 439-3043 or 4224796. So when we left off, I was talking about this document that is now the feature of WhatsApp, you know, proves that we have $5 billion worth of $5 billion worth of pebbles, limestone, aragonite that went out of the Bahamas. Anyone looking at the document, I mean, if you wanted to substantiate something, there's really a better way to do it than this, actually. Because the United States Customs Border Protection Harmonization Tariff Schedule, that doesn't even give you the trade stats. Right? Not that. That gives you the tariff schedule. What is a tariff schedule? A tariff schedule is something from the Customs Department, like the Bahamas Customs Department has a tariff schedule. And what they would do with the tariff schedule is they would put the tariff code, that's the number for the particular item, the classification of the item they would give on a column, and then they'd give in the other column what the measurement type is, whether it's pounds or tons or whatever it is, and then they would give a description of the item, and then they would give the rate. It means that when you bring the item in, you can expect, if it fits this classification, you can expect it to get that tariff rate. That's the tariff schedule does that. If you want trade statistics, you have to go to the USTR. You can get that, or you can get it from customs, because I get trade stats from customs as well, you know, and they will send you what the value, the volume, the quantity is of an item, and then they will send you what the value is of that item that's imported or exported into the from the country. So that's what that does. So this gives a classification and a description. Then they have a limestone export from the Bahamas, and it says, based on data provided by the United States Customs Office. Now, if you are giving me a document from the United States Customs Office, why would the same document say, based on data provided by? If I'm providing you, if the U.S. Customs is providing the data, why would it say, based on data provided by? It would say, it would just simply give you the data, as Bahamas Customs does. It says imports of this beef into the Bahamas, this is the classification, this is the quantity, this is the value. And they will give you that by Bahamas broadly or by island, Grand Bahama versus New Providence and so forth and so forth. So the document says, based on that, right? So this is not an output from the U.S. Customs. It says the United States Customs Office now the United States Customs Office a snapshot of limestone shipments from Freeport. That's what it says. Grand Bahama to various seaport. Not, listen to me now. Here's the other thing. The document says from various seaport. Well, the United States people don't know grammar. Because you don't put from various seaport. It'll be from various seaports to various seaports. Not to a various seaport. Right? Says on the United States Atlantic coast and Gulf of Mexico has revealed the below identified items. So obviously someone is suggesting they interpolated, extrapolated this information. So they wanted to give legitimacy to it though by claiming it was something produced by the U.S. Customs Office. Listen to me, folks. I'm going to say this again. There are a lot of people in the Bahamas who are financially hurting. And that's real. That is not a joke. That's very real. There are people without jobs. There are people who have lost income. This is not just, in quote, average people. There are people who had businesses who are now hurting significantly. They have obligations they cannot meet. They've been living well. They've been living relatively well, okay? There are lots of people who have been this way now, not just since COVID. They've been living like this for decades. There are generations of Bahamians who know what broke is. Because they go off, their parents were broke. They are broke. Their children are broke. They are caught in a vicious cycle of poverty, of limited financial means, okay? Their educational circumstances does not admit them to have better paying jobs. Their skill set does not admit them to having better paying jobs. Or the availability of economic opportunity doesn't, even with their skill and education, afford them the ability to have a better paying job. They are caught in a vicious cycle. For such people, what is their way out? Well, if you don't have a skill necessary to fit a certain job in the Bahamas, or elsewhere, how are you going to make it up? You can't do it by that. You won't be able to do it because the Bahamian economy has not now for almost two decades had anything close to very good growth. It has not. It has been a absolute mediocre performer for almost two decades. Subpar growth. Unable to generate the level of jobs and income necessary to meet the appetite of the vast majority of people in the country. I said appetite now, not jobs. The vast majority of people in the country have jobs. But the level of living that they wanted and were used to, that ain't happening in this economy that's growing over the last couple decades. So what do you do in an environment like that? You start hoping. And somebody says to you, you know what, bro? You could get out of this. We could all get out of this. All you got to do is tax all the IBCs. All you got to do is do better with your aragonite. All we have to do is exploit that oil that's coming into the country. And all the problem is that these stupid, idiotic politicians ain't doing better. And if they could just do better, we'd all be rescued. Why would somebody not want to hold on to that hope, given the circumstances that they are in? Why would they not want to be open to information? And so people who have no conscience, that's what I say, have no conscience, have no willingness to be robust in their own study and their own search, put information out to give them false hope, and false expectations, to further diminish their hearts. You know, the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So people get out there and start thinking, all I need is to find a politician and politicians who could just go and exploit aragonite and get a check, who could just go and tax international business companies against all these billions of dollars they pass into the Bahamas, and I could get a check. It'll be better off. Absolute nonsense. Why? Because people, hurting people, need that hope and help, and people prepared to exploit them that way? It's wrong. It's terrible. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, ma'am. Hi, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Mr. Langton, do you have any faith in the committee that was formed in Parliament?
Which committee?
Which was formed in National Resources, headed by
I believe that they will be able to come up with some good ideas. I really do believe so. I just think that we could do some things even prior to hearing from them, but I believe they'll come up with some good ideas.
I mean, it's excessive in talking about this billions of dollars.
Yeah, but I mean, but why did the two of those have to do with each other? They didn't. The committee didn't put that information out.
But what information does Juan put out? Juan Miller.
Oh, I don't know who Juan Miller. What Juan Miller put out? I got something from a friend of mine. It doesn't say who it's from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't say who it's from. It just and I heard some people alluding to the information. So
right.
I don't know who it's from.
Right.
I don't know who produced it.
But I think that was Juan Miller's contribution.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, but it doesn't change anything that I've said though. All I did was I looked at the information and the source of it.
Right.
That's all I did.
So you really think successful leaders who are prime ministers of this country actually knowing that, with the talk is there's billions of dollars in our resources, natural resources, do you think they actually sit back and know that?
I do not.
Ingram,
yeah, I do not. I do not. I do not. I do not. I do not.
Okay.
I don't believe that Mr. Christie. I don't believe that Sir Lyndon. I don't believe that Hubert Ingram. And I don't believe that Hubert Minnis would do it. I do not. Okay, so my understanding is that Juan Miller was the one who had this document, according to a good source. Well, that doesn't change anything I said. Nothing I said with the document. First of all, like I said, all you got to do is use the documents link itself and just go and use it. The link is, let me give it to you in case you want to search it yourself. Let me give it a link, because you can just do it yourself. Don't rely on me, child. You know, the Bible has something called the Berean believers. These were the people who the Bible said search out these things to see if they were true or not themselves. Yes, the link. The link is this entire link, https://https.usitc.gov/?query=limestone. All you gotta do is put it in yourself. You can go and do it yourself. So you don't have to believe nothing I say. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We'll be listening to you.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. How you doing?
I am doing okay. And yourself?
I'm good. Mr. Lang, good. Why don't you invite the individual who made these assertions on his show so you all can have a dialogue?
I would be happy to do so, but as I said, all that happened to me was the document was sent to me by a friend. The friend
right.
didn't say to me it was sent from so-and-so or this
uh-huh.
one, just the
right.
document itself.
Yeah, but I mean, for us out here, the general public and those who listen to talk. Right?
Yeah, but listen to me 1 minute. Yeah, but listen to me 1 minute, because I don't like to waste time. Listen to me 1 minute.
Because, the individual, said that there were actual dollar amounts
Okay, but sir, listen to me 1 minute, please.
Right.
1 minute. I'm saying to you, forget what he said.
Right.
There is a link on the document.
Uh-huh.
Search the link.
Yeah, but
and go
I
see
I
for
mean,
yourself.
I, But I'm saying, you know, I would invite the person to come and
listen to me. My, right now, to be honest with you,
you're trying to be cute with me,
okay? Because here's the reality. Here's the reality. If you give me a document and I go and search myself, the source you gave me.
The same individual gave you that, or someone else?
No. I'm saying you, whoever's document this is.
Right.
If you give me a link, and I search the link, and the link you gave me does not have your information, what do I need to talk to you further for?
No, but then I would then say, well, listen, that, you know, where did you get this information from,
I got the information from my friend, so I didn't speak to my friend.
Right, you know, I mean, your friend got it. Where did your friend get it from? Did he get it from the same person? I don't know where he got it from.
So I don't. That's what I told you. I don't know. I just looked at the document itself.
So I'm saying, invite the individual on your show. Let him defend himself.
I thank you for the suggestion. I thank you for the suggestion. But trust me when I tell you, I don't have that kind of time to waste. I really don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. Thank you for the suggestion, though. Appreciate it. See, some of you, I'm sorry, but your challenge is, I understand, man. You want to believe this. I understand. Maybe it'll be true one day. Today ain't that day. It ain't true today. It may be true one day, but it's not true that day. And you could go, and you can go on yourself, Google search, Bahamas exports, limestone exports to the United States of America, and see if you could corroborate the information by that document. This is all you have to do. Go ahead. That's the starting point for it. Right? I'm not, if the person has additional information, I'd be happy to get that. But the document itself does not do what it purports to do. Okay, the document itself seems unable to document its own sources. So why should I talk to that person? Why don't they tell me where they got the information from, and I could get them people to talk to me. Right? But just read the document. And the document itself has its own set of challenges, beginning with how it's even structured. Okay. The person shared this information. I understand it's Vaughn Miller, they said. And I have the greatest regard for Vaughn Miller, right? Really, I do. Greatest regard for him as a person. I really do. I love him as a person. Great brother. I think his heart is in the right place. I share some of his sentiments on some things, for sure. But I'm sorry, Vaughn could challenge me even. I don't have all the information in the world. It's a lot of information I don't have. Well, but if this document is something that I should take seriously, I'm telling you, it's fraught with a lot of challenges. Plenty for me. And it does not invite me to literally take it seriously. I'm sorry. Does not. The text says, let's be fair, even you spoke about natural resources when you were in power. Said, yeah, but if I spoke about my speaking about it and having to do with the darkness, what does that say? This is the text saying, this is what I said, Mr. Lang. How is it that the FNM is now saying that our natural resources are not profitable now that Bahamians want some of it? The white rich getting it? And please. See, this is what people do, right? So, as I indicated, desperate to believe that this thing here is true. I don't know what the Bahamas' potential for aragonite and other stuff is. I don't know that. That has never been my argument. My argument has always been, if there is that potential, there ought to be Bahamians mobilizing on a business basis to go after it. That's always been my my thing. I have never been one saying that it's not this or that, the next thing. But you want to believe this. So a document is circulated. I check the document against its own claims. That's all I do. Check the documents. I call into question what I read on the document. And now you see what this individual wants to do? Now it's about Shivago when y'all was in power. When y'all was in power. So if I told you today the temperature is above 80 degrees, what you can tell me, when y'all was in power, the temperature was 60 degrees? Does that make sense to you? Or are you going to say, Shivago, you know, I hear what you say, but I have done this search myself, and here is what I have discovered. You ain't gonna off balance me with your little narrow, circular, political, jaundiced points of view. It's not going to happen. If you want to challenge me on, I have done my own search, Shivago, and here is what I found. It is possible I'm searching the wrong place. Maybe I read the link wrong, incorrectly. But you ain't gonna do it by that little narrow kind of weak argument, man. Come on, we could do better than that. We can do much better than that, for sure. All right? So my point remains that there is a certain desperation. And I understand it, because those of you who are out there worried about the future, worried about how we in the Bahamas are going to make it, you have a right worry. The query about how will we make it, that's a legitimate question. Don't let nobody take that question from you. If the PLP wants to replace the FNM, it's a question it must have a clear answer to. Not a vague one, not a wishy-washy one. It must have a clear answer to that. If the FNM wants to remain in office, it needs to have a clear answer to your question. What and how will we make it going forward? If the DNA wants to be to replace the FNM, it has to have a clear set of answers to that question. It is a legitimate question. How will I make it? How will my children make it? How will the Bahamas make it? How will we make it? Is a legitimate question. But having simple false hope ain't gonna get that question answered. It's not gonna get that question answered. Unless the Lord Jesus Christ come and speak to you and tell you, listen, aragonite is the way, don't tell me you have no faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if God comes and speaks to you and says aragonite is the way, don't you tell Shivago, go to hell. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to nobody else. I'm listening to God. But until that happens, you better try get yourself some facts and some information that you can bank a future decision on, yeah? You better do so. This text says, no, sir, you have some good ideas, but we are hearing from FNMs. Maybe not you, but FNMs are now saying our resources are not profitable. I don't know about FNMs saying that. I haven't heard that myself, but I wouldn't say they're not profitable. In fact, I believe aragonite is profitable. How profitable? I don't know. It has to be profitable if people are exporting it. It has to be profitable. If people are dredging it, it has to be profitable. So I'm not suggesting it's not profitable. Whether it could cut you a check every year for the next 20, 30, 40 years of your life, I don't know. This says, I think you are fair. But if I can get a $600 check every December from our natural resources, then I will take it. I can't agree with some FNMs what they are now saying, that it is not profitable. I will never believe that. And that's fine. I'm not I'm not going to argue with you against that. I got you. We got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Okay, how
are you doing? Hey, Antoine. I'm right here, man. And yourself?
I'm good, man. I'm listening to your discussions on this document from the, some U.S. authority.
Purported to be.
Okay.
Purported to be
a U.S. authority.
Yeah.
And I listened to you with the last call, and you were explaining, if you wish to challenge you, chat about it in this manner and in this way, right?
Sure.
And so I wish to use that very same format. And I wish to say to you, Shabago, I've done my research. I've been on the Standard & Poor's website. I've signed up to become a member, as a matter of fact, in order to access the information. I went on the Standard & Poor's website, and me and you had an ongoing discussion where you had indicated that Sir Alan, I think it was, would have been the person who would have introduced S&P Ratings Agency to the country.
I didn't say that, Antoine. The reason why I kept challenging you on this was you didn't believe you weren't listening to me. I said the first time the Bahamas was rated by an agency, and the two of them were Standard and Moody's and Standard and Poor's. I said the first time we were done so was under Sir William Allen. That's what I said. Is that untrue?
And Shabago, even using that premise, which I was going to get to that as well. Using all of the premises that you laid out, where you indicated that it's impossible that S&P would have begun their ratings underneath the Christie administration when James Smith would have been Minister of State Finance in 2003, you would have indicated that S&P was conducting credit ratings on the Bahamas economy long before that. Well, Shabago, the first rating, as I was trying to say to you, the last call that I made, maybe about 2 weeks ago, their first ratings was actually 2003, Shabago.
Yeah,
and
Antoine, I'm on a different wicket today. So let me kill this for you. What I said was that the first time we had any ratings in the country was under Sir William Allen. Is that true?
That was one of the things.
Is that true? No, I'm asking you a question. Is that true?
I'm saying that was one of the things you said, yes.
Okay, but it's true.
No, it's not.
The first time we had a credit rating in the Bahamas by one of the agencies was not under Sir William Allen?
We were speaking about Moody's and Standard & Poor's, and Moody's conducted their first rating under James Smith when he was Governor General
and
Governor of the Central Bank between 1987
and 1997, Shabago. Antoine, so you're suggesting to me the Bahamas was never rated by a credit rating agency under the Ingram administration?
No, I was speaking specifically to Moody's and S&P,
Come on, man. Listen. Okay, you know what I'm going to do for you today? You're right. I'm wrong. You're right. Okay? You have another point you want to make?
I don't need that admission, Shabago. I'm simply using the concept that you
because you clearly ain't listening to me. But I want to move on now. You're right, and I'm wrong.
I'm listening to you quite clearly, Shabago.
Okay, so you're right, and I'm wrong. Is there another point you'd like to make today?
Not at all.
Okay, thanks, man. I appreciate your calling. Thank you. I appreciate it. I really don't have time for that. Okay? Today, I'm on a different wicket. But Antoine is right. If Antoine says to me, he went and did the search, and his search showed that neither Standard & Poor's nor Moody's executed a readings in the Bahamas until James was Minister of State for Finance, and he found that information, he's good. He's right. Shivago Lang is checked. There you go. But that ain't what he find, though. I know you got to find that, but no problem. I'm on a much more serious point today because what Standard & Poor's, when Standard & Poor's, when Moody's started rating us, which I know for a fact, started under the Bahamas, under the Ingram administration. I know that for a fact. is not here nor there. The legitimate question that rests with Bahamians to their governments and to the people who would like to govern them is, how will the Bahamas achieve prosperity going forward? It is not even a question merely of growth, because growth is part of the prosperity, but you could have growth and you could have unequal prosperity. It's how will we achieve broad prosperity? Prosperity that benefits the middle class of this country, that raises up the standard for large numbers of people now disadvantaged. That's a very serious question to which the existing administration and any would-be administration must apply itself. And in doing that application, there can't be any fanciful graphics, any fanciful bullet points. There has to be real thought. And I dare say, that thought isn't resident only in the body of politicians in the country, not resident only in the body of the committee, the Economic Recovery Committee. It's out there in many spaces, and it's a hard question to be answered. Anyone tell you that this is an easy question to answer is, I think, deluded. It's a difficult question. If you want to know how difficult the question is, just think about how difficult it is for you right now, right you, right now, and most people, to increase their income by, let me give you a modest number, $5,000 a year. Try and increase your income by $5,000 a year. See how easy it is. It's not easy. It's not, for most people, it's near impossible in their minds, because they don't see that kind of increase coming from their jobs. Because for you to get, if you're making $20,000 a year, a $5,000 increase is a 25% increase. When are you going to get that in a year? And so forth, right? It's not easy. A business, you take a business, and you say that business, increase your income by $20,000 a year. They'll tell you, it's not that easy. So the pain that large numbers of Bahamians feel in wanting to have more, that pain is real. And the question about whether their government or they themselves or their business employers are able to help do that, it's a real question. It's a legitimate question. But somebody shooting a document at you to tell you there's $5 billion worth of aragonite being exported from the Bahamas by Freeport, by Bahama Rock or whoever, or Freeport Concrete or what have you, doesn't answer that question at all, especially if it's fake or unsubstantiated or unreal. And those who are leadership in the country should know better and should do better. They should respect you enough to do better, to give you real information, easily verifiable information that can help inform you. If I'm in the House of Assembly, I'm a member of Parliament, the last thing I need to do is be Google searching or alone just to get information. I have access to official statistics in the country. I have access to the Customs Department in the country. Or you believe the Customs Department of the Bahamas would lie, and so it's better for us to rely on the U.S. government to get trade information than we can rely on our own Customs Department, because all of them are involved with the same conspiracy of lies talking about what is happening with the aragonite in the country. All the chief control of customs, and all them customs officers down there are keeping lies about how much limestone, how much aragonite is exported from the Bahamas. We can't trust them to get the give us the information. So I go to some U.S. in quote government office. Why do I need to do that if I'm a member of parliament? I can call the controller customs right now if I'm the member of parliament and say, listen, sir, I need information on this. And don't tell me you can't be that. I'm not in office and I can request information on trade statistics and I am able to get it. You can go to the Department of Statistics and get it. That's their job. That's their lawful duty to get it. And let them tell you how much aragonite was exported from the Bahamas. Why? I have to rely on the U.S., some purported U.S. agency? It's not right. And it's not necessary. And all it does is create more confusion in the country. Political confusion. Nonsense. Says, good day, Mr. Lang. Are you saying the report on the billions made off of aragonite is a lie? We all know you work for Mr. Simonet. Well, the last thing you should do is use lie in my name and then say I work for Mr. Simonet. I have never worked for Brent Simonet. I've never drawn a paycheck from Brent Simonet. I have never gotten a dollar from Brent Simonet. When and where? So I'm going to stop reading your lying text because you are obviously ignorant as hell. It's a lying text. Oh, boy. We got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, we will wrap up our discussions. We'll be back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host.
Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody. Everybody. Come take my
hand. Sheila, you okay? I see smoke coming from your window.
Chad, Johnny Moe's burning down the house frying chicken.
Your kitchen is a mess. You have insurance?
If I have insurance, I pull my phone out, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and in no time, I was on live chat with RSA rep, sent pics of the damage, filed my claim on the spot.
Wow, I don't think my insurance got that kind of...
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
At Royal Fidelity, you can be confident that we are busy keeping your money at work. We realize that your finances may have been impacted by COVID-19. Our margin loan facilities could be the solution you are looking for. Borrow against your investments and use the funds for any purpose, including meeting short-term cash needs or COVID-19 related expenses. Approval is within 48 hours. Contact us today at 603-6000 or email brokerage@royalfidelity.com. Royal Fidelity, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid. Take a stand, everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holler if you feel like you've been down the same
road. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. If you want to call us on these last remaining moments, you can call us on 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4315, 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 439-3043. You see what I tell you all? Oh, some of us babies. We can't argue the point. We just turn to lies, right? Mr. Simonet, Brent Simonet, the wealthy one, please, sir. I love a paycheck. Waiting for Brent to give you really money. Give me some money, sir. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Shivago, am I able to make a comment on a custom statement?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Recently, about a week and a half ago, no more than 2 weeks ago, right. I noted that, and I haven't heard anyone speak about it, and so I'm bringing it up today on that show. I noted that the comptroller for customs, I don't recall a name, and so pardon me, or Deb, if you're hearing this, madam, but or ma'am, sorry. But I noted that the Prime Minister during the budget debate, as well as the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance during the budget debate, was discouraging Bahamians from pushing U.S. currency or spending, of course, outside of country in order to bolster the local economy, right? And I noted in an interview that the Comptroller for Customs conducted, she indicated that the customs revenue was down drastically.
Right.
And she was very concerned about it. And she was so concerned about it, and rightfully so, that I noted she is encouraging Bahamians to go to the U.S. and spend that money.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, like, I'm like,
so,
wow.
So that's an inconsistency in policy.
Hello?
That's an inconsistency in policy.
Exactly. And she is the top revenue agent in the country outside of the financial secretary and the Minister of Finance
himself. That's a good point.
If I could say this in closing on a point, I agree with her because if she certainly doesn't want for history, although we are in a COVID-19 economic environment, she certainly does not want for the records to reflect that she was not astute in executing her job at the end of the day as the comptroller, as the recently appointed comptroller of customs. And so I understand exactly where she was coming from, but I thought it was a complete, I thought it was very humorous between the prime minister.
Antoine, it's a balancing act. It's a balancing act.
And I agree.
It's a balancing act.
And clearly she gets it, and she's sending a signal to the Prime Minister, and the Deputy Prime Minister is all I'm saying at the end of the day. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. We have a text here says, so Mr. Lang, if the government of today have all the information, why have they not published it then? Okay, here's what is true. The government has published the information. You don't believe it. The government has published its revenue intake numbers for the past decades. It's in the budget documents. It says export of aragonite or royalties, and it gives you the number. It's like $47,000. This year, the upcoming is zero. You just don't believe them. Additionally, the Department of Statistics has the export numbers. You can go to the Department of Statistics and get the export numbers. You don't want to get it, or sales, but you can get it. But I agree with you. The government could make it easier on you and just publish the numbers themselves. You ain't gonna believe it, though. So let me compare. So the government can't tell me I'm wrong if I don't produce what they have. Be fair. The government can't tell you you're wrong. The government ain't interested in telling you you're wrong. If you send me a document and it has foolishness on it, I can tell you it's wrong. The government don't have to tell you that. You don't have to listen if you don't want to listen, but I will tell you, and that's all I did. I looked at the document myself, and all you have to do is look at the document yourself, right? Now, there may be information out there, but that document does not help support the information, is the point that I made. Okay, so the government ain't telling you you're wrong. Shivago Sean Lang is telling you the document that you were looking at doesn't purport to give the information that you are saying that it is giving. So you have to put that one on me. I listen to me, folk. Get all the aragonite information you want. Get all the oil information you want. Keep that hope alive if you want. Maybe one day it'll come true and you'll be blessed. I'll be happy for you, very happy for you. In the meantime, if you're a parent out there, if you're a husband or father, if you're a man or woman, the only man or woman out there, and you are looking for your future to be better than your present, child, let me tell you something. Look to what you can do to enhance the value of your hands. Look to what you can do to enhance the value of your mind. Look broadly in the Bahamas and across the globe and ask yourself, is there a value that I could bring to this world more than the present value that I'm bringing? Look to where you see things will be steadily growing for the next 10 years and ask yourself, is there any way that I can be helpful, useful in that sphere? Ask yourself, is there any way I can rearrange my own circumstances so that my financial circumstances are better off? But if you are putting your hope in someone catching sense and taxing the foreigner more for dredging your aragonite and sending it out the country, I think from all the information I have, you will be setting yourself on a very shaky foundation. Nothing but sand. And so, yes, win the political argument if you want. Win the political talk if you want. When's that going to put change in your pocket? When is that going to help you pay your children's school fees? When is that going to help you buy their uniform or their school books? When is that going to help you pay BPL? When is that going to help you pay your landlord or your mortgage? When is that going to help you pay for the things you need to pay for to live in this world? Keep dreaming. Keep dreaming. And you let the people keep selling you a dream. The same people who are selling you the dream, ask them how much they are being able to take advantage of the dream they're selling you. So while you dream with them, I'm telling you there are other things you should apply yourselves to, because your desire for better, your desire for economic empowerment, your desire for economic prosperity is a wonderful, necessary, useful, legitimate desire. Just try and find the best and most practical and fundamental way to satisfy the desire than having to win a political argument about all this wealth that is out there to cut checks for us. You looking for Wakanda? Wakanda was a Marvel picture. I loved it. Loved the Black Panther. But Wakanda ain't out there. You ask the actors who acted in the movie. ask them to go find Wakanda. Ask the producer of the movie to go find Wakanda. You know Wakanda out there? You could make Wakanda, but ain't no Wakanda out there. You have to be real. And I'm sorry, I'm not prepared to use people. I'm not prepared to be trying to push out their things that give me some credibility with people because they are hungry for better. Not doing that. I'd rather give you hard truth than soft lies. Because the only thing that sets free is the truth. It's the only thing that sets free. Everything else will bind you, bound you, wrap you up, mislead you, misguide you, misdirect you, and make a fool of you and me. And I ain't shitting that at all. So there you have it. I trust and know for the best. These are difficult times for us in the country. And if we don't realize that we can scrape our knuckles, that we can break our nails, that we are going to scorch our knees, that we are going to dirty our clothes, that we are going to sweaty our brow, that we are going to exhaust and fatigue our muscles to get out of it, well, I'm sorry. It's going to be a long, hard road. God bless you is my prayer. I trust and hope you have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And that you are able to find some rest for yourself. Mind you, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful, but I am unrealistic. I'm hopeful, but I'm not unrealistic. I stare at my own children, family, circumstances, and I know. Chivago, whatever you can do, buddy, you better get your mind active, your hands active, and try and get creative and innovative and see what you can do. Because I ain't got no rich uncles and aunties. And ain't no aragonite rescuing me. And no oil is going to rescue me. God bless you. I trust you have a wonderful evening. Nahaja Black is up next. We'll talk to you again.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.